Bibles to 2 Peter, chapter number 1. I get amused looking back over the crowd. You have two or three of them snuggled up, freezing to death, and two or three of them fanning, just can't get out of here. It's too hot. I'm glad when we get to heaven, we shall be satisfied. Amen. Amen. 2 Peter. I especially want those of you who have been saved recently, I want you to listen, but I want each of you to listen. I want to show you why or what happens when we don't grow. Just because you get saved, it doesn't stop there. That should be where it starts. And so tonight, I want you to listen just a moment. Peter wants us to understand, he wants the Jewish believers to understand what salvation is. And he wants them to understand what it brings into their lives. So let's begin reading in 2 Peter chapter 1. Keep your Bibles open if you would. And I would recommend for all young people, and especially those who are saved, to bring a Bible. Every Christian ought to bring a Bible to church. Amen. You ought to bring your Bible. If you don't have one, let us know and we'll be glad to give you one. Bring your Bible. Learn to either keep notes in a notebook or make notes and gather some things that will later on you can look back and it'll mean a lot to you sometimes, certain things that the Lord may give you along the way. But in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 1, Simon Peter, a servant, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren. That word barren means useless. You know, the worst thing about, there's nothing any more worse than to be saved and be useless. And the Bible says that you will be barren. You'll be useless. There'll be the Lord get no use out of your life. He said, if these things is not are not in you and abound. It says he should make you neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never what? Fall. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask you to be with us today. Help us, Heavenly Father, and we ask you just guide us and give us direction. We need your help in all things and be with these young people, Lord, that have given their lives. We pray that they would go on to grow and be nurtured in the Word of God. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for those who come up and are being baptized, and we pray your blessings upon them. Lord, be with each and every one here, and if there be one here on the sound of our voice needing to be saved, tonight we pray would be the night of salvation for that soul. We ask in Christ's name, amen. Looking back at verse number 10, the last word, fall, doesn't mean fall from your salvation. It means to stumble in your Christian life. It means that you fall by the wayside and you're not being used, you're not being useful. First of all, I want to show you in Scripture and what we read, there are certain things that everybody here that are saved, we have certain things in common. Everybody. Look back in your Bibles in verse number 1. He talks about precious faith. Everybody was here, you're saved by the same precious faith that the other person was. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Without faith it is impossible to please God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Amen. Everybody here, if you got saved, you got saved by faith. We all have the same precious faith. Somebody over here can't stand and say, listen, I've got a greater faith than this guy over here. We all got saved by the same precious faith. Everybody shares that in common. You say, well, I didn't get saved by faith, and you're not saved. The only way to be saved is by faith. The second thing is, if you look in verse number 1, also Peter points to another thing that we all share in common, and that's the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Somebody said, well, you don't know, I've never done all these bad things. The Bible says that your righteousness in God's eyes is as filthy rags. Everybody's a sinner. You will never please God by your actions. It's the fact that Jesus, when you got saved, what happened was God took your sin, and there on the cross of Calvary, he placed it upon his son. And when you believe upon Jesus Christ, his blood is then applied to your life, and his righteousness is imputed to you. When you believe upon Jesus, Jesus trades and gives you a divine transfer of his righteousness. When God looks at you, he sees the righteousness of Jesus. Not you, Jesus. That's why so many people have trouble with salvation. They think God is pleased with them. God's not pleased with them. God's pleased with him. Jesus is the one that pleased God, not you. And if it was left up to you, you would never please God because it's not within you the ability to please God. But Jesus pleased him. He said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Amen. Now, so second of all, we all have a righteousness that's been imputed to us by Jesus. And if not, we would not have any standing before God. Somebody said, well, if God can't look upon sin, how does he look upon me? He looks at you through the righteousness of his son, Jesus. The third thing is, look back in your Bible, in verse number 2, grace. Not a person here gets saved without grace. Everybody here, for by grace are you saved. You have been saved by grace. Grace is God has given you something that you didn't deserve. God has done something that he's given you, something that you can't earn, something that you never will deserve. God has given it out of goodness of his heart. And so therefore, we all stand up, and if you were to stand up tonight and you want to boast about your salvation, this is a word you ought to use. I praise God because I am what I am by the grace of God. You only say because of his grace. And when we get to heaven, we'll spend all eternity not praising one another. We'll spend all eternity praising him because he deserves all praise. So we all have grace. Then we all have peace. Look back in verse 2. We have peace. The Bible says when we get saved by the blood of Jesus, that brings us with a peace with God. Somebody told me one time in hospital, he was fixing to die. As a matter of fact, he did die. There in the hospital, and he'd never been saved. But when I went to talk to him about the Lord, I told him, I said, you're fixing to die. You don't want to go out into eternity without Christ. He said, I've made peace with God. I said, how'd you make peace with God without Christ? He never would answer me. I said, what you need to understand is there is no peace with God without Jesus. And Jesus is the one that brings us together with God. He makes peace between a sinner and a righteous God. And so we all share that same peace. Not only that, but look in your Bible again in verse number 3. He says, according as his divine power hath given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. In other words, when God saved you, and every one of you has this within you, every one of you has within you the power to do what God's asked you to do. Everybody who's saved has it within their power. When God give you, when he saved you, he give you divine power for this life and to live godly in this life. Does it mean you always will? You might not, but God's give you the ability to do that. You can't say it's God's fault, because when you got saved, God gave you everything you needed at that time to live for him. Not only that, look if you would in verse 4. Something else happens that a lot of people don't realize, whereby we are given to us great and exceedingly precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of what? Listen, everybody without exception that gets saved has God's divine nature given to them when they get born again. Once you get saved, you can never be the same person again. Your spirit has been made alive. His spirit now abodes in your body. Your body has become the temple of the Lord. His spirit witnesses with your spirit that you are the child of God. Once a person is truly saved, you then become a partaker of his divine nature. No one can stand and give this testimony: I was saved, but I wasn't changed. Everybody in the Bible who ever got saved got changed. And anyone who gets saved gets divine nature, and you cannot be the same person once God's nature comes into you. You cannot be the same person that you was before it was. Do you still have your sinful nature? Yes. Does it battle with your divine nature? Yes. The spirit lusts against the flesh and the flesh lusts against the spirit. They're contrary to one another. And you always have that battle once you become saved. But what you need to understand is this: everybody here has a divine nature if you ever got saved. Now, if you don't have the divine nature, you didn't get saved. Because God gives that to you, and you become a child of God, and he lives within you. Okay? Now, look on. The last thing that he said, we have escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. There is a corruption of the world to keep you from being saved. But once you become saved, heaven becomes your home. Now listen to me. Everybody here that is saved has the same thing in common here. Everybody who is saved is truly going to heaven. Jesus said, my Father's given them to me, and no man can pluck them out of his hand. Everyone here, he said, he will not lose a one. And that means you. So therefore, what you need to understand is everybody who is saved has the thing in common that we're going to heaven. Now, if you're not saved, you're not going to heaven. You might like to think you are. You might like to weigh your life against someone who says they're saved. But if you are saved, you have all these things I just listed. But now look back a moment in the Bible. But it says, and beside this, in other words, there are some things that you're going to have to do if you're going to grow spiritually. Now, when you get saved, you get all those things I just talked about. Those things are automatic. They come into your life. You have those things. Every saved person that is saved has those things. But not every saved person will grow. Not everybody will grow spiritually. Some people stay babes all their lives. So let's look just a few moments. Keep your finger there a moment. Let me show you two places in the Bible where it refers to it. The two most common issues that comes in people's life. Look if you would in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. When you get saved, the Bible tells us not only go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, but we're also to teach those creatures after they get saved in whatsoever things he has told us and taught us. In other words, it's not enough that you get saved, but then you need to begin to grow spiritually. Look, if you would, in chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians. Paul wrote to the Corinthians and he said this. He said, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual." In other words, as someone who'd grown spiritually. He said, "But as unto carnal," that's fleshly, "even as unto babes in Christ." He didn't say that they wasn't saved. He just said that they wasn't growing. They should have been growing. Every child, listen, if you had a child and he was 10 and 12 years old and he's still wearing diapers and walking around and just learning to walk, you would say something's wrong with that child because they're not growing naturally as they need to grow. Well, when you get saved, then there is a natural spiritual growth that you need to grow. And so Paul says, he said, "I can't talk to you spiritually because you're too carnal." Look at verse 2. He said, "I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, and ye are not carnal and walk as men." Or are you not carnal and walk as men? In other words, he said, listen. He said, you all should have been grown up by now. You all should be growing spiritually. You should be enjoying the Christian life. But instead, you're fussing and fighting among yourselves. Somebody said, "I don't understand. This church down here, they're fussing and fighting all the time. They're all the time having issues." They're a bunch of babies. If they're saved at all, they're a bunch of babies. God doesn't expect his church to be that way. He expects you to grow. And now look here. When you got saved, he gave you all the things I've done told you, but it's up to you if you're going to grow. It's up to each individual. Now, some of you might stay a babe in Christ all your life. Well, if you stay a babe in Christ all your life, you'll become barren, useless, fruitless. You'll have nothing to show for it. What a sad testimony to say you're saved and you have nothing to show for your life as a Christian. But look on. Look if you would in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 5. Again, we're told in Hebrews, there was a group that should have grown too, and yet they were still not growing. Look if you would in chapter 5. In verse number 11, the Bible says, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing that ye are dull of hearing. For when at the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." Listen, babies don't use milk, they drink milk. And if you're going to stay a babe in your life, you'll never be able to take the word of God and use it for nothing. Babies don't use milk, they need milk. But you, as babies grow, then they begin to eat meat. And they begin to grow. That's what God expects you to do as a Christian. Look in verse number 14. "But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." In other words, he said what's wrong is you're not spending any time in the Bible, in the Word of God. You're not sitting and when preaching's going on and teaching's going on, instead of sitting, reading the Bible and studying and growing, you're sitting there and you're ignoring it. Next thing you know, down the road, you're still a baby in Christ after years after you've been saved. That's not the way it ought to be. Look back, if you would, in 1 Peter or 2 Peter. Now he says, and besides this, in other words, he says it's your responsibility if you're going to add something to your faith that God saved you after you got saved. He said, besides all this, giving all diligence. In other words, you got to work at this. Being a Christian and growing in Christians just don't come. You say, "Well, I'm going to sit here and he's just going to make me a mature Christian." That's not the way it does. You have to work at it. You have to be diligent about it. Look here. There's times you say, "Do you ever? Is there ever days when you don't want to come to church?" Yeah, there's sometimes the old flesh don't want to come to church. There's times when I don't feel like reading the Bible. Yeah, there's sometimes. There's sometimes I don't feel like listening to preaching. Yeah, sometimes. But what we need to understand is we need to work at it. We need to be diligent. Sometimes it takes an effort. You got to put forth an effort. Look on. He said, and besides all this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. In other words, what saved you and those things that you've gotten when you're salvation, now you need to start adding some things to it. He lists several things right here. I'm not going to go over these things, but he, most of them you know what virtue, knowledge, and so forth is. Temperance means that have self-control. Patience means that you have endurance to do it. Now, notice here, skip on down verse number 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you be neither barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, we talked about that already. You said, preacher, I want to grow. Wouldn't it be nice that you could grow and maybe be a help to see somebody else want the Lord? Maybe you could influence one of your friends. Maybe sometimes I've seen people get saved. I've seen children get saved and influence their parents to get saved. I've seen their parents become saved because their children was a testimony to them. But my point is this. If you start adding these things to yourself, virtue and knowledge and all these things the Bible talks about here, it's up to you. It's your responsibility. It's like I tell these boys in basketball. Now we've got some that's got a pretty good team, but we practice twice a week, 2 hours a week. There's no way that we could make good basketball players in 2 hours a week, twice a week. And I tell them, I said, listen, if you want to be a good player, you've got to take time out on your own and go over here and work on the things that you need to work on. You've got to work hard. You got to sweat. You got to run. When nobody's looking, when it's hurting, you got to keep pushing yourself. You want to be a good ball player? You've got to do that. It's up to you to work upon that. Well, let me let you know something else. You want to be a good Christian? It's going to take some effort on your part. It's not going to happen. You work at it. You attend church. You listen. You study. You grow. You pray. Now, stay with me a minute. And notice in verse 4, if these things be in you, you'll abound. That they make you, that you neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of Jesus. But now notice in verse number 9. But what happens if you are not growing? When do you not grow spiritually? Look in verse 9. But he that lacketh what? In other words, he says the first part of this chapter, he said, now these things I give you. Everybody's got these things, so you're without excuse. These things you have to add to yourself. You've got to work on this. When nobody's looking, it's got to be you working on it. When nobody's around, it's got to be you. These things does not just come. You've got to work at it. You've got to add these things in. Now in verse number 9, notice what he says. But he that lacketh these things is what? And can't see far off. You know what it means that you can't see far off? It means that you're not looking down the road. Now, I used to play ball, and I used to have to work on playing ball. I know I don't look like I played ball. I look more like a ball than I look like I play ball now. But the truth of the matter is, it took a lot of effort. I went and I ran when nobody was looking. I sweated, but what I had to do was when I was hurting, when I was pushing it that extra mile, when I was running to pick up my speed, when I was jumping, trying to increase my jump, I had to look far off and see the benefits. It didn't happen that day. It didn't happen that week. I remember I took a couple boys one time, Kelly and JR. I took some jumping shoes, and I told them, I said, listen, If you'll do what I show you, by the end of summer, if you'll do this 2 or 3 times a week and do all these exercises, you'll be jumping 4 and 5 inches higher by the end of summer. And you know what? Both of them decided they would do that. And you know what? They were jumping 4 and 5 inches higher. But they worked very hard. My point is this. To be a Christian, you got to look down the road. Amen. The moment you get saved, you're not going to get out of this building much. Brother Junior prayed for you, though, guys that just got saved, and prayed that the devil would leave you alone. But I've got news for you. He ain't going to leave you alone. Most of the time when you get saved, you don't get out of this building before he starts challenging you about your salvation. That's why you've got to add some things in your life. Because what happens is, you've got to work at these things so you can see afar off. That down the road you want to be a better Christian. You want to be a stronger Christian. You want to be someone that the world uses. And let me tell you something, you young people. You get a few more years out here and you get dating and so forth, you can mess your whole life up if you don't have your eyes upon the Lord. You get with the wrong people and they can destroy your life. And you might get in a situation where it ends your life. So be wise. But look on. You have to look far off. We not only look down the road at being Christian, but we also look down the road when we stand before Christ and He hands out rewards to us. When we go to heaven, we don't want to be ashamed when we stand before Him. But look on. The Bible says that He's blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten what? That He was purged from what? You say, preacher, can I ever doubt my salvation? Listen, please listen to me. The only type of life that God gives you when you get saved is eternal life. God don't deal in no other kind. There's no temporary life. He never promises anyone who believes on Jesus Christ that they will have some type of temporary life. He promises everybody eternal life. You say, well, preacher, I don't have assurance of salvation. We don't believe in that. Listen, there's a difference between assurance of salvation and eternal salvation. You have eternal salvation even if you don't have assurance of salvation. Assurance is something you have to work on. And you know what happens when you don't add these things in your life? You lose your assurance of salvation. You forget that your sins was purged from you. You don't feel saved sometimes. You know why? You've gotten away from God. You've not worked and you've not added these things into your life. And so therefore, when you go out here and you face the world, you face Satan, you face your old flesh every day, guess what happens? Then you get where, even though you're saved and you got all the things that you had at the beginning of the chapter, you still got them. But because you didn't work and add these other things in your life, guess what happens? Now, you're useless as a Christian. You're doubting your own salvation. You're blind. You don't see very far off. Look at the last thing in verse number 10. In verse number 10, the Bible says, "And wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make sure your calling election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never what?" And what happens is, you will stumble. You say the Christians ever stumble? David, a man after God's own heart, stumbled. You know why? He got his eyes off the prize. Peter, a man that God used to preach and see 3,000 people saved on the day of Pentecost, got his eyes off the prize and he fell and he stumbled. Over and over in the Bible, we can find many examples of people that was God's people that they got away and they quit adding these things in their life. And guess what? They fell. They stumbled. They didn't lose their salvation. They just fell as a Christian. And so what I want you to understand is this. Those of you who just got saved and those of you who are saved, God gives you this when you get saved. It's all of us. But you must start adding these other things in your life if you want to be fruitful and useful. And if you want to have that assurance of the relationship with God. And so tonight, think on these things. Weigh these things out in your life. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not saved. Those things I read at the very first, I didn't have them until I got saved. You say, preacher, how do I get them? By coming to the Lord. And tonight, God may be dealing with you to come tonight, and you step out and come. And you know what? If you believe upon Christ, the very moment you believe, He'll give you all those things. And He'll give you everything in your life you need to grow as a Christian. But even after you get saved, it's your responsibility. You've got to be diligent to add these things in your life. Amen. And maybe you're here tonight and you are saved. And maybe you just need to come. And God's dealing with your heart about something else. However God may lead you, just stand and give some invitation, Brother Porter. How about tonight? Would you come and let him have his way?